Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ed Shamalia is in our studio. He was here before. He's the national coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative. Well, welcome back to Chicago, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me back, John.
You still from Texas?
No, Kentucky.
That's what it is.
That's a Kentucky draw. It's confused with Texas every once in a while. Yeah, but it's Kentucky.
No, and now that you mentioned it, I think that is Kentucky.
Yes, it is.
Embrace that, Ed.
Oh, I do.
It's charming. It's warm. It's friendly. So what is the National Marijuana Initiative?
It is one of the three national initiatives that support our 33 HIDAs across the country, and a HIDA is a high-intensity drug trafficking area, of which you have one here in Chicago. And we are the subject matter experts for all things marijuana. So initially what we do and what our initiative looks like is we look at what is going on with the state of marijuana in this country, not only the legalization piece, but we also help with the illicit side still. But primarily we're concentrating on what we're seeing in this country as the country moves towards legalization, either medically and or recreationally.
You were brought in to talk to the DuPage County Chiefs of Police, is that right?
I spoke with them this morning about what to expect come January the 1st as Illinois joins the 11th state to join the recreational legalization model in this country.
So what are you telling cops?
Well, things are going to change. Not everything that they've heard is actually going to happen, but there's some fairly consistent things that we're seeing across the country. One thing that I think nobody really understands is how marijuana has changed and significantly changed. And it's a recent change, because most people's concept about marijuana was what it was when they experienced it. And, I'm a product of the late 60s, early 70s. And if we were talking about that marijuana today, I wouldn't waste your time, because it was a relatively benign, harmless substance. But what happened when Colorado recreationalized in 12, it changed the dynamics around marijuana altogether. It is now more potent. The potency is gone through the roof. Now, on average, Colorado's seeing potency on average of 20%, with some flower exceeding 40%.
Should I worry about that? Because the dosage goes down then. You don't have to smoke or eat as much.
Well, you don't, but the concentration of THC is exponentially greater than it was when you were smoking the joint.
So people are getting higher?
If you can get higher, yes. The duration and the intensity of the high is greater, particularly when you start talking about concentrates. And that's what's driving market share. About 35% is still the crude, what we typically see, the old Cheech and Chong, you roll a joint, smoke it. But about 65% now is something other than the crude drug. It's concentrates, wax, oils, tinctures, vaping, edibles. Gummy bears, yes, sir. That's what's driving market share.
Okay, that's market share. Is that a concern of law enforcement or me? I mean, that's just the other ways people are taking it.
It is, because of a couple reasons. Number one, what we always see, and what I suspect you're going to see here, is an increase in usage rates amongst all age groups, and particularly our younger people, which happen to be the most vulnerable to the harmful consequences of THC.
You're advising cops on all of this and what to do maybe when they encounter it, but are you also against the legalization of recreational marijuana?
Well, that's a complex question.
It's a yes or no. Should we or should we not legalize it in Illinois?
I don't think we have enough valid scientific information to make that determination about this drug, particularly as it exists in its current context. Again, if we were talking about what was around 10, 15 years ago, this would be a different discussion. The science of today's marijuana is still evolving as far as the harms. We don't know enough about today's marijuana to make a definitive conclusion. Should we legalize this impairing substance like we've got alcohol?
Well, are things that bad in the Northwest or Colorado? Are things that bad in California?
Yeah, they are. They are bad.
How so? What do you mean
by that? Well, even though in some categories usage rates are going down, marijuana is playing an increasing role with respect to automobile crashes and their involvement, not only in Colorado. What concerns us the most is the inability in any state, and I suspect your state will not have the capacity to regulate this industry. Nobody is effectively regulating recreational marijuana.
How so? What do you want them to do that they can't or won't?
Well, first of all, nobody's doing anything to address potency, which is driving all the problems with that. Nobody is doing anything with respect to potency. And with that, if you go back to the previous administration in the Cole memo, where President Obama and his Justice Department said, we're not going to touch the states as long as you don't do these eight things. And one of them was diversion, sale to minors, public lands. In every instance, every state that is medical and or recreational is still invited. Even though the Cole memo was rescinded by former Attorney General Sessions, every state still is not in violation of about every eight principles of this Cole memo. So we're still seeing marijuana produced at record levels, at low prices right now, and it is being diverted all over the country. Nothing is being done to keep it in the confines within the state.
This is in the newsroom, Steve Bertrand.
You talk about potency, and something just jumped to me. I didn't hear all of it. I'm sorry. But I know here in Illinois, with the legally raised grown marijuana, they check the potency. And, in fact, there's a penalty where if the marijuana in the field, any piece of it, part of it, exceeds the state limit, by law they have to destroy the entire field. So it seems to me they are monitoring potency here when it's grown legally.
Well, I know what they say they're doing, and they say they're doing this in all the other states, but that's not the reality of what is actually out there. That's not the case. And I suspect that based on your regulatory model and as you roll it out, number one, there are not going to be sufficient funds to do regulation, nor will there be sufficient personnel. The state of Oregon has three individuals to regulate the entire industry. Colorado's got 18 individuals to regulate the entire industry. A dispensary or production facility gets inspected once every 36 months. So there is a tendency for, and the fact that what we are finding with the labs that are supposed to be testing potency, California shut four labs down that were providing false and inconsistent results. So
what are they doing, juicing it up more?
Yes, and it's being driven by demand.
I thought, though, that the idea was that if you professionalize this, it is... there's more quality control. It is regulated. Better that than us get it the way we've been getting it for 100 years.
Well, you know, in theory, that should be the case. That's not what's happening in practice.
So is your suggestion to the state of Illinois to better fund the sort of inspections of the potency and the operations?
Well, I think if you're going to go down this road on the front side, you have to set the mechanism up to adequately regulate this industry. And if you don't do that, and if you're relying on taxes on the backside, you're always going to be playing catch up with the industry. So if you're going, and state legislators across the country are it's typical, let's put out a program and figure out how to pay for it later.
Well, we're going to sell the marijuana, we're going to tax the sale a lot, we're going to take that money and use it to regulate the industry, right? That's what we do.
That's what's supposed to happen. In theory, that's what's supposed to happen.
And why won't it happen? We're going to buy that stuff. We're going to tax it. We're going to get the money. You're afraid that we aren't going to fund the...
Oh, I know you're not, because nobody else is. I mean, you look at pension funds across the country.
No. Don't even preach to me.
Well, look at other entities where we've been promised we're going to do one thing, and when the money comes in and the bigger pressing issue presents itself, that's where the money's diverted to. You look at your fine roads you got out here, you know, you could spend all your marijuana money just on infrastructure. You got one of the worst pension systems in the country that thankfully only yours is worse than Kentucky's. So, you know, things like that are going to take precedent over what should be done, and that's trying to regulate an industry that really doesn't lend itself to regulation.
The question, Ed Chimelia is in our studio. He's the national coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative. And they work with states like ours to do what? To advise them? To tell them, here's at least what you ought to be looking out for?
We're just letting people know what's actually happened. At least we want you to make an informed decision based on what is actually occurring.
Well, we've decided to legalize marijuana, and I'm going to be able to do that real soon. The thing that I think is really on people's minds in the state of Illinois is driving under the influence, and how are they going to know, and what the definition of that is. And there are some folks from Motorola here, and they had a gadget that they'll be able to use, and in 5 minutes they'll get a readout of six different drugs, including THC, and is the person impaired. But I don't think that's necessarily a good indicator of impairment. Some people will be impaired that aren't over the limit. Some people won't be impaired at all, and they are. So I think a lot of us have questions about that. I know the cops do. We'll pick up the conversation here in a minute. Maybe you've got a question, too. 312-981-7200. We're talking to Ed Shamalia. He's the national coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative. So he is in town, courtesy of the DuPage County Health Department. They have the prevention leadership team. They brought him in before to talk to the folks out in DuPage County so they know what the laws are and what the issues are and what some of the things are that other states have run into. What can we anticipate in DuPage County and in the state of Illinois? I suggested just before the break, Ed, that we don't have a handle on DUI or the equivalent.
We do not. Not at all. And I think that's going to present, it's already presenting problems in these states that have legalized recreationally.
Because you're going to be able to legally smoke marijuana. I guess you can't smoke it while you're driving. Or
no, you can't drink while you're driving. Yeah,
well, understood. But right. I mean, but the point is you can drink and drive, not at the same time, as long as you're not over 0.08 and you're not impaired. What is the equivalent to that? How are we going to know?
We don't. Therein lies the problem, because the science does not exist with respect to impairment at a nanogram level. We have arbitrarily assigned, and in most cases, it's a 5 nanogram whole blood impairment level. The science does not support what impairment is at that level. We have a clear body of science on what impairment with alcohol looks like. That's why we have per se laws. The problem is we don't have that with marijuana, and it's presenting problems because marijuana is playing an increasing role in the states that have recreationalized marijuana with respect to the involvement in collisions and fatalities and overall in the percent of their involvement in total DUI arrest.
I wonder if it's also a function of the users themselves not being used to it. If I'm having drinks, I know what it feels like when I'm having too much, and I think I have a general sense of what my impairment is. But I wonder if people, when they start more regularly and legally using these marijuana products that you're talking about, if they'll even know. You know, maybe some of them will, I'll say innocently, find themselves impaired on the road when it wasn't their intention.
Oh, I'm sure that may happen. But I think the bigger problem is it's going to take several years for the science to catch up with what impairment looks like with marijuana, like we have with alcohol. We don't have the field testing with alcohol that we do, I mean, with marijuana that we do with alcohol. So it's going to be incumbent on drug recognition experts, on police officers going back to doing basic fundamental police work. Is I saw you driving. Here's the indicators that led me to believe you may be under the influence. And that's the key word, under the influence of something. I pull you over, put you through a litany of field sobriety tests, gauge your cognitive ability, your fine motor skills, how you process information, what have you. Police officers are going to have to go back to doing fundamental police work, dotting I's, crossing T's, and being able to articulate to courts why they felt that individual was under the influence.
And they don't do that with alcohol-related stuff.
They do
right
that,
now?
But We've gotten really lazy with alcohol, and we've done a really good
because
job.
Because we blow into the device.
Oh, we blow into the device. I saw that toward the end of my career. As my troopers, their first inclination was to stick the PVT in somebody's mouth. Oh, yeah, you're there. You're gone. Instead of going through and doing what we should be doing on the front side. And using the PVT, well, I'm not really sure, so I'll use that as a last resort. So we get so reliant on technology, and we're so accustomed to technology telling us what we should or should not be doing. That's not the case with marijuana. We're not there.
Because I could be 0.07 and still be impaired, right?
Yes,
you
can.
The officer says you blew 0.07, and I say, hey, I'm out of jail. He says, no, you're not. You were still impaired. So I guess the same judgment call is going to be made on the streets with marijuana.
Yes, it is.
And people are going to be, that is a can of worms, my friend.
Oh, it's a huge can of worms, and it's happening all over the country.
I got a lot of calls and questions for you. Ron, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Ron, you're on the air. What's up?
Hello, John and Trooper Ed. Trooper Ed, I was working in Mississippi in the 80s, and they had drive-in liquor stores where you can drive in. It's open, all open. You buy your packaged goods. You can buy an open beer in a cup, drive out. Drive out, sir, legally. In Mississippi, that was in 1980. I don't know if it's changed. So you can legally drive and drink. At least you could in the 80s in Mississippi. Now, as far as marijuana, medical marijuana or marijuana, you know, if you've been using it, I understand, in my case, since Vietnam, so we're going to go back a few years, of course, not every day, all the time, but pretty much, You know, I've specifically taken driving tests in my car, reeking of reefer, and with
So what is your point, though, that you will be able to, you have a higher tolerance is what you're telling us, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, hold on. Let me respond to that.
Well, I think what you're saying is fundamentally correct, that you who have been a long-term marijuana user understand how your body processes this drug. What we're going to see, particularly with our young people, they don't have the same level of experience, for lack of a better word, that you do with this substance. And they're going, and particularly my concern is with our younger people, that marijuana and what NIDA tells us about the harmful consequences of THC to the developing brain, particularly the frontal lobe, the executive function process where we make good sound decisions, they're not there yet. So that's my concern, is you know, based on your experiences, what it does and how it affects you. We really don't have a clear body of science to understand how that is universally applied to everybody as we do with alcohol. And therein lies the problem with marijuana.
Got just a couple of minutes left. Thanks for the phone call. A couple of texts read like this. 630 said, people drive all the time impaired by alcohol because alcohol is accepted and legal and no one ever wants to address that. I'd rather someone drove after they smoked a joint than after a couple of drinks. And 219 said, sounds like typical boomer talk here about regulating potency. There has never been a death attributed to marijuana overdose. They sell alcohol that's 90% pure for people to consume. No one talks about how dangerous alcohol can be. What's your reaction to those two messages?
Well, I think for somebody to make the statement that nobody talks about how dangerous, that's the most destructive drug in this country's history. You ask any police officer in America, the one substance that has caused you more heartache or heartburn, and I go from my own personal experience, it's alcohol. It will continue to be alcohol. Alcohol has wrought more social, familial, community destruction than any other substance combined.
So then the point of these messages is that whatever that devil is, we figured out how to contain it. Maybe you are overstating the case of the dangers of or the complications of marijuana.
Yeah, no, I don't think we understand what the dangers of the complications are. That's the problem.
James, you're on WGN Radio. What's your comment or question, James?
I was actually just about to say the same thing as your guest, Ron, and I think we know for a fact that prohibition does not work. Alcohol is by far the most destructive. I'm in the military. I have seen some of the most crazy things. I've been enlisted and an officer, and I think there's no doubt about it. If you think that it's acceptable to have alcohol that's legal,
then marijuana would be able to apply as well. I have 20 seconds left. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think time will tell.
Thanks for the call.
I think time will tell whether this actually is a good decision or not. I think right now we have no idea because we don't clearly understand. And I'm speaking with the potency of today's marijuana. What we've had since Colorado recreationalized, we may be a generation before we understand the ramifications. I'll probably be on the dark side of grass when that occurs. But that's the reality. We just don't know.
We just don't know yet. Which I think is at least good that DuPage County Health Department, thank you to the prevention leadership team, has at least brought you out there to get in front of some of these things. Ed, come back to Chicago and visit with us again in our studio.
Well, thank you for having me, John. I enjoyed it.
We always do. Ed Chimalia is the National Marijuana Initiative National Coordinator.